Welcome to the Global Mountain Bike Podcast. And today I'm joined by nine times world champion, Jack Harvey. Jack, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. That's weird saying that, isn't it? Because we've been chatting for about 3 hours now. So yeah, we've already said hello.
Just spot cameras.
Man, it's great to have you here. I love it. It's brilliant. And I could talk trials all day long. But I want to make sure we don't just talk about trials. Because you are venturing into mountain biking, which is quite weird. So you're a nine times world, nine times. Talk me through that first. Nine what? Tell me each one.
Yeah, so nine times trials world champion, but yeah. Some are in junior.
Yeah, but how? Like, so let's go. Let's go from world. Can you eat? There's so many world titles. This is what's blowing my mind.
So I were in youth.
Youth.
Youth. I won three.
You
in
were
that.
A ute. You were a ute.
Yeah, so youth, yeah. Some are in youth, and then some are in junior.
Yeah,
and then the rest are in men's.
Oh my god! So how many? And but all on 26 or some on 20-inch trials bikes?
Two on 20-inch. But back then in youth, the
I have some on a 20-inch.
But the youth ones were mixed category. So 26 and 20 were in together.
Oh, right.
So it didn't make a difference.
Oh, wow. Do they still do that now?
In youth, I think they do, yeah.
God, that's weird.
Yeah, because, well, there'd be about 200 classes, wouldn't there?
Yeah, oh, my God. Well, there did used to be. Yeah. So, because I think this is quite a rare situation, because you're possibly, and don't take this as the wrong way, you're possibly the best mountain biker nobody's ever heard of. Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
You're like nine times world champion.
Yeah, I agree.
You shouldn't have been able to walk down the street just now.
Yeah.
Everyone should have been like, oh my God, it's Jack Harvey.
Yeah.
But typical trial situation, although we'll get to why that's not true of some trials riders in a minute. Typical trial situation, nobody knew what the hell you are or what you do.
No.
It's incredible.
It's mad. And it's, to be honest,
does it bug you?
It don't bug me. It definitely bugs my dad because it does bug him. Yeah, he's just there. But
I bet it does. Eh?
It does because he knows that I work really hard.
Yeah.
At it. And I don't know. It don't bother me one bit.
Yeah.
But I've definitely never got any credit really for what I've done.
Yeah.
I've never really.
Let me give you all my credit because I couldn't be more impressed. I love your riding, and I just think you're one of the only people when I'm scrolling through social media rarely that I stop on and go, well, let's see this because I know it'll be good. So, I mean, you definitely get all the credit I can give.
No, thanks a lot. That means a lot.
But it is amazing, isn't it? Because there's trials is a bit of a... would it be a dichotomy? I'm not sure what the right word is, but there's people like yourself who have dedicated themselves to being a competition trials rider and winning things and getting titles. And then you've got the show riders or the video riders who would be murdered in a competition because they just wouldn't. And they would all admit, self-profess that. They would be like, I just couldn't ride what the comp riders do. But you've got the Danny Max, the Fabio Widmers, the maybe the only anomaly in there is Ali C, because he can just do everything.
Ali C is a...
he's legit.
He's does a bit of everything, yeah.
Yeah, he back in the day, he was Mr. Comp Rider for a bit.
Yeah.
But there's this big, powerful social influencers, which is essentially what they are, trials riders, and everybody knows who they are.
Yeah,
it's weird, isn't it?
I think without knowing that and I'd never say it were a bad thing because it's done so well for the sport.
Yeah,
and not even for the sport, for cycling.
The broadest term.
For me personally,
yeah,
it definitely wasn't a good thing for me. Really,
no,
it didn't make any sense for me.
No,
well, it's not my thing, but. It definitely darkened what I've achieved.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
100%.
Because it just gets overlooked and the problem, we were talking about this earlier on, trials has got a problem because it's very difficult.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to become, to actually even feel like a trials rider, you have to do an awful lot. So it's got this barrier. It's like dirt jump riding. Dirt jumpers, like a Blake, what Blake used to do originally. It's so bloody hard. You know, even to get through the trails, most people just can't even do that, you know, because it's dangerous.
Well, you can have an enduro bike and just go and have on a smaller way and have fun doing
it. And you're an enduro rider. Yeah. You're an enduro rider, you're a mountain biker, and it, all it was the entry is the cost of the bike.
Yeah.
Whereas the more niche sports, and I guess the more niche in mountain biking you go, like trials, like dirt jump, the more niche you go, the harder it is, and the smaller the sort of sphere of people who've been able to put the time.
There's trials, isn't there? And then there's trials what Danny McCaskill does, which is quite niche, but getting bigger, 100% getting bigger. Which is amazing.
Mm.
But because that's getting bigger, it makes competition trials get even smaller.
Yeah.
Because it's like anyone can really jump on a street trials bike and have they can't hop, but they can roll around on it.
Yeah.
But
it's getting back to that sort of middle ground. And it's
in between.
It's very dubious, I think, on the word of I sometimes look at the 24s and I can't separate my own involvement in that either, because I kind of made one early on. So I'm to blame somewhat as well. But they're very close to not being a mountain bike.
You know,
it's hard to put them in the mountain bike category. So I love that we see Danny and people like yourself riding mountain bikes, real ones.
Yeah.
Because that's when you see the skill of a trials rider, is like suddenly the bikes do things that the people can relate to the bike, but they can't relate to what it's doing. And that's when it's fun. It's like, oh my God, how the hell did he just do that on a bike like mine?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what makes the difference.
This is what trials riders need to be doing, in my opinion. It was something I didn't really know how to get involved in at the start.
Mm.
And it's really good doing it on a trials bike, which is amazing what you can do on a trials bike. But sometimes it's important to show, okay, we don't need that special bike to do that special trick or whatever.
Yeah.
And we have to show we can do it on a mountain bike, we can do it on an e-bike, and it brings it back to normality, but like a really good rider on a normal bike in a way.
Yeah.
Which I think is massive just for cycling in general, and it gives levels to the game, doesn't it?
Which is
brilliant. But
so what have you found hard about riding a proper mountain bike? What's the adjustment that you have to make? So you get off your trials bike, which to everyone else looks like crazy.
Yeah.
And then you get on, and it looks crazy to me, and I'm a trials rider. So I look at your bike and be like, what? I've never ridden a bike like that one.
Yeah.
Because the geometry's so strange, the setup's so strange. So when you get on a normal mountain bike, what's the hurdle for you?
Normally, because I'm riding mountain bikes more and more now.
Yeah,
I don't have to set them up as crazy as I used to. But when I first started riding my orange bike, I used to blow the shocks up so hard. I'd make the bike literally
rigid.
It had 150, 160 thing in it and everything. And I'd just turn all the dials off so they were as fast as they could possibly be.
Yeah.
Blow them up. Almost roll the bars forward.
Yeah. Would you roll the bars forward on a normal bike?
I'd roll them quite forward. Yeah. I hate handlebars, but I like back.
Yeah. So the rake.
Yeah. I'm not on a chopper. You know? I like them positive, you know?
Yeah.
So I used to roll them really forward and set the suspension really hard. Whereas now, I'm getting used to it.
Yeah.
I'm starting to learn to use the suspension to my advantage.
Yeah.
So if I set it fast but a bit softer, I can maybe get a bit more. So, and especially on my e-bike, I literally ride that flat as a pancake now.
Yeah.
Tires to the rim.
Yeah.
Moto style. I love it.
Chris Akrig was here a few weeks ago and he was saying he runs his rear shock so soft
on his e-bike.
He said people will get on it and be like, is this broken? And he's like, but he said it gets so much more grip.
I've seen Chris's bike though. He has the coil, doesn't he? I can't run as flat as him. I would run as flat as him, but I can't because I've got air.
Yeah.
So it's literally be sagging as soon as I sat on it. But I would like to I'd like to have a coil on it.
Yeah. I had a... So you're on an Orange 5. No, when on the e-bike, you're on an orange
charger.
And on non-e-bike, would you?
Non-e-bike.
Like, analog.
I ride a few different ones now. Before, it were always about the five.
And
then over time, I were like, I want to go through the whole range of orange bikes. And so that were the same, though. When I first partnered up with Orange, we're all about get the smallest bike.
Yeah.
Get a medium instead of a large. Let's make it small. And now, as I've got better at using that kind of bike, I've gone bigger. I'm getting bigger travel. I'm getting bigger and bigger because I can make the bike do more by using the length. But the e-bike, I've kept at like 150s on the front. They're not, it's not a massive bike.
No.
But because it's heavier, I think it's better to be a little bit smaller and a bit more agile. But I've got literally my Schwalbe Dirty Dans on it. I just go climbing hills on them because the novel's just like...
I mean, an e-bike, climbing. When it's climbing, is so great. I mean, e-bike, I said this to Chris the other day. I'm saying it to you, right? We've got to make this happen. E-bike trials needs to become a thing.
I don't know why it isn't a thing.
It's
I can't,
the, that's
I
what
can't
they're
understand.
Made for.
I can't
nobody's using them for the
or
right
even,
thing.
Do you remember years ago when they used to do... hill climbing on motorbikes.
Yes.
Why don't we do an e-bike hill climbing? Okay.
No stop.
Yeah, like no stop hill climbing.
Hang on, that plays into the hands of Chris Eckrick. Yeah, no stop. That's not a good move. We maybe should put some rules in there.
Oh, we put some rocks towards the end of it.
We don't want Chris winning everything.
But if we put some like, I don't know, like we could do like a really long version of trials, like a long section where it just gets harder and harder. And wherever you finish, that's your
graded hill climb.
Yeah, and then like you carry on. I'd love to do something like that.
Yeah, I loved. You were explaining how the trials rules have changed now, because back in the day, if you rode a trial, you would go through the section. A lap would be made up of sections, and you would go through each section, and each section you'd get points basically for how many times you put your feet down. Whereas now the sections you're riding are man-made sections,
positive score,
and you've got like a quarters, a semis, and a final.
Yeah, if you're a top 10 rider, you don't do quarters.
Right, okay.
So you go straight into your semi-final.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like that. And in your semi-final of a world, if we're talking world championship, it's three laps of five sections.
Right.
And then the day after, you ride one lap of five sections.
It's not much.
Which is disappointing.
Yeah.
Like...
Because for a ride your level, you want more
Then you need 10 laps. Yeah, I want 10 laps.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, as well, is when we're going down to one lap,
you get a
blowout.
Yeah.
Or
you're done. Yeah.
Yeah, you're done. You've lost world championship. You've waited 365 days and you've lost a world championship over a tire.
Yeah.
Like, and there's only one round. It's like downhill.
Yeah.
Mant at bottom wins and that's
it.
It's finished
for
the year. For the year. So, like, anything breaks or anything goes wrong, or you wake up poorly or whatever, you're screwed.
Yeah.
But like the key rules always change when the same winners keep winning.
Right.
And this is one thing I've always noticed in trials, and I've seen it happen in motorbike trials as well.
Yeah.
Like they start bringing non-stop in, they start bringing this in and that in. And it's always, they like to keep it interesting.
Yeah.
And with motorbike trials, they failed because both. He's like 30 times world champion.
Yeah, can't be me. Like we've just all decided now. He can't be me.
Yeah, you see, we talk about who's second.
Although, just quickly on that, this is non-mountain bike related, but go on social media and check out these names: Tony Bow, Adam Raga. You'll have an amazing time.
Yeah.
But Adam Raga is the greatest trials rider who ever lived. But for Tony Bow, the guy has beaten. He's not only been up against Tony Bow forever. He rode against Jordi Torres. He rode against Tommy Avali, rode against Mark Colomé, rode against
Lampkin,
the whole of Lampkin's era. The guy's unbelievable.
He's a beast.
I think his sister's husband, is Tony Bow married? Anyway, we're getting off. This is trials. This is trials. Details. So I could talk trials all day long.
I met Adam Raga. He's such a nice guy. And such a good person for his sport.
Yeah, he's an amazing
guy. But he was just in the wrong... He's just been unlucky.
He's been in all the wrong eras. He's had to deal with all of them.
Yeah, he's had it tough and he's always pushed through and managed to stay at
top. Imagine having to battle against... You battled so hard, eventually you toppled Dougie Lamkin, and then Tony Bowe came along.
Literally, 2 years later.
Like, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
on the same bike.
It's crazy as well, because the, like, Bowe wasn't really meant to be doing, he wasn't even a top rider at the time, was he?
No, he just came clicked. In and, oh. Once he got on that Honda, and I remember talking to Dougie, and Dougie said when he first got on the Honda, or they'd been riding with him with the deal with Honda about to happen, he said he watched him and was like, it's over. Like, this guy is,
yeah,
this is the next thing, because he said he was just ridiculous. Yeah. And I remember him from back in the day in bike trials.
He was world champion in
he
that.
He was, yeah. But I mean, he was like, it was crazy. He was like, he must have been like 12, and he had a truck with his picture on the side. At bike trials.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his dad would go around with him, and he'd get a five, and he would scream his head off. He was the biggest, most spoilt brat I've ever seen. No. He's literally crying in the sections. I can think of one other rider that it reminds me of, but I won't say who it is.
Yeah, I'm here.
No, but you know him. And it was crazy. And then for that guy to end up being this just amazing, just phenomenon on a motorcycle trials bike is crazy. I mean, he was good, but yeah. He was, to say that he was destined for that role in life is an understatement, because his dad had obviously been like, you will be, you will be world champion. Yeah. Yeah, so he had no option.
It's good, but he's still, you can still see he's so passionate about it. Mm. Even when you see the training videos online, you can see he's so into it, and
he loves it,
and it's good.
And you say you really like watching those guys as your inspiration.
I don't really watch cycle trials videos, to be honest. I watch motorbikes.
Yeah,
but,
I can relate to that, because my history is motorcycle trials. So I used to, like most people who come from motorcycle trials and get on a push bike, the pedals become revs, run.
As I'm riding around Shipley Glen, I'm making noises.
That's the noises. And I always used to think, someone who isn't coming from motorcycles, what are they hearing? Like, I would be like,
yeah.
And then I was like, is there someone who just did push bike trials? Are they going, like, what's going on? How do they measure it in their mind?
Yeah, I don't know. I think people think I'm like a weirdo when I'm riding. I just make noises and everything.
I think brum brum noises are the way most people get good. I imagine Loic Bruni's going brum 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 down the downhill
around it.
If there's no engine in his head, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
it would be very quiet.
I've watched a thing about him. He's like, what do they call it? It's like dak dak
round dak, dak, yeah, and all yeah, that. You know, yeah, they love thing, all that. It's funny, isn't it? It always turns into some kind of, like, I don't know, some gesture. Noise. It's a gesture that you have to, like, that says an awful lot. Like, when we were just out, you were showing us some street, and you were riding over those railings. I almost, the noise of your tire on the railing is almost the way to understand it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, and then the grip changes.
Yeah, you can.
Because of the sound. It's really weird. Yeah. When you look at, when you try and understand how someone's riding, like if you're imagining Loic Bruni going down a downhill, or one of these cross country riders going around at a terrific speed for lap after lap, when you break their riding down, it's subtle changes.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the difference between you and someone else in a comp is so subtle.
Little noises.
But it's you know, there's certain things you do that are just, you know, going to make the difference.
I've seen people in past with earphones in listening to music as they ride. I'm like, how do you do that?
Oh, I tried that. I can't do it.
I listen to everything on the bike and everything.
Yeah.
Like, if I hear a noise, I'm like, what was that, you know?
Mm. But a lot of it in trials, I guess it's the same with everything. It is grip, isn't it? It's what you're hearing.
You like hear it.
Yeah.
You think, oh, okay. Yeah. You know when it's going to slip, because you're like, you clamp up, ready to fall.
Oh, God, yeah, it's the worst. When you know the grip's going to go. So hang on, let me get back, I've derailed us onto a trials, trials diversion. We were talking about, okay, so now you're on an e-bike, and you're also on a other orange builds. Because I remember I had a Diva, an Orange 5 Diva built just before my accident. So a full suspension, 5, but in the women's size, tiny, tiny bike.
Yeah.
And they built me up this one. Really, it was super trick. And I had Hope had kitted it all out with parts, and they'd done me like a sticker set for it. And it was just glorious, this bike. And then Mojo had made me a rear shock for it that they'd put a skull and crossbone sticker on, because they were like, when this thing's going to be brilliant for what you want to do with a bike, until it goes wrong, and then it is going to go bang. Like, this thing was, it was like, it's deadly. So be really careful with it. And that bike, I built it for a certain video, and I didn't actually get to do the video in the end, because it was just at the time where I had my accident. But I was amazed what you could get out of it. Like, have you found that? Like, it doesn't sound that high now, but I was doing like meter 10 side ops on it. Yeah. Because really, I sort of worked the suspension out, you know? Yeah.
Because the orange bike single pivot, it's just snappier than a normal mountain bike.
Mm.
I don't know if that makes sense or not, but I found, because it's single pivot, like, some people don't like single pivot, do they? But I find, for what I'm doing, single pivot is perfect.
Yeah.
It's a lot more, it makes the bike more reactive.
Mm.
Like, most mountain bikers, they don't want the reactiveness, do they? They want it slower for the bumps.
Well, I mean, I'm no suspension expert at all, but Doddy would be fascinating to hear his view on this, because he would, obviously, now that they're trying to get all of the sort of chain pull out of the suspension movement, you know, with high, you know, with idler wheels and stuff like that. And I guess to some extent, what you're doing with the bike, as the suspension squats, the sort of tension that builds there's probably useful.
I guess I don't know.
I mean,
it's like, as I ride it and I put a front wheel on something and I push back, it's almost motor.
Yeah,
like the way it kicks me forward.
Yeah,
like, but most, like, when I watch stuff about mountain bike racing, they don't want the kick.
No,
they hate that kick.
Yeah,
like I love it. Like,
it's because you're all about going up.
Oh, I like going up. Yeah. So
yeah,
but
I do.
The yeah, I don't know.
Skills have you found have translated well? Like, so what, like, from your very technical trail skills to, like, onto a mountain bike, what have you found that is like, oh, that works?
Tapping up rocks.
With the front.
Catching the front wheel.
So a front shot.
Like motor, like, yeah, touching, bang, and up. That's cool.
That
with the e-bike, though, more than anything, because if you catch the override on the motor at the right time, you've stopped pedaling. And the motor's still pushing you into it. But if you get it wrong, you drop and you go too low.
Oh, no.
You go head first and kiss the rock. So it's either up to back wheel or kiss the rock.
I like that terminology, kiss the rock. Literally.
Literally kiss it, yeah.
Kiss it. Yeah. How have you found working with Orange? Because they're a really unique company in their own right.
They're actually really, it's quite, they're really relaxed.
Mm.
Really relaxed. And it's a bit, I'm not really like a racer, am I? So...
Mm.
It's just me doing my own thing, really.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, I think they're the perfect brand for what I'm doing.
Yeah.
How they're relaxed and make sure I've got the bikes I want and make sure I'm doing what I want, really.
Yeah.
So it's perfect for me in that sense, because I'm not, like I say, I'm not a racer, so I don't need a team of people around me setting up suspension kind of thing. Yeah.
Have you been to their factory and stuff like that? Have you been to, like, the, where there's, I couldn't believe it, the first time I went there, I'm trying to think what the year would have been, but it was a while ago, maybe at the same sort of time they had Steve Pete racing downhill for them. And I just couldn't get my head around the sort of sheets of metal, because you forget an orange is made out of sheet metal.
Yeah.
And they just fold
it up,
fold a bike.
It's crazy.
There's suddenly there's sheets of metal one end of the room, Steve Pete's downhill bike the other.
Yeah.
And it's just such a strange, it's not a big place either.
It's not. It's just like two warehouses standing. And it's brilliant. And then they paint them all there. They do everything in-house.
Yeah.
So it's pretty...
It's like, a really
literally
unique...
Within one day, you could have a sheet of metal to a bike.
I don't know if you... Have you seen their adapted bike?
Their adapted bike.
I have seen it, double front end.
I have seen it.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I haven't seen it in the flesh.
Let's see you do some trials on that bad boy.
That is a beast, isn't it?
That's a heavy front end right there. I don't think you get on the back wheel on that one.
I don't think.
But apparently it rides amazing. I did get to see the sort of one of the very first versions of that before it was using the orange frame. And it was a really interesting idea. But I've never actually ridden it. But apparently Lorraine Tour, I can't remember her second name. I'm going to say Lorraine rides it really well and it's really fast. Yeah. But yeah, it's quite an interesting bike. Double front end. There's an awful lot going on because the wheels are kind of doing
this. Yeah, they twist, aren't they?
Yeah.
I've seen it, yeah.
I've never seen
it in the flashlight. Pictures are different, aren't they? But I bet it'd be pretty cool to see.
Yeah, it's a cool bike. It might be an interesting video for you there. Trying to ride there. I'm trying to think what they call it. It's got a really good name. I'm looking at Leo because he remembers lots of things. Big brain Leo, we call him. Actually, what do we call you? Not Big Brain Leo. What's your nickname?
Lightning.
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 That's it. McQueen. Lightning McQueen. I'm trying to think about that translation of skills from your trials bike to your mountain bike. Like, what would you say is the hardest move, like, to do? Like, what's the hardest move on a trials bike? Because, I mean, what's the hardest one to get? Because from an outside looking in,
I think the hardest things are always, like, you know, you side up to your, like, I side up to my right.
Right.
Side up into your left.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Because that's the biggest problem for everybody.
Yeah.
That's not a trials thing. That's cycling, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's like, if I say to you now, go out there on a road bike and turn left or right, you'll have a preference for
Have a corner that feels right. And
it's like, I prefer, if I were out there now and I were going around the corner, I'd prefer to go fast to the right than to the left, because my left foot would be forward and low.
Yeah.
Which would feel horrible.
So your left foot forward.
I'm left foot forward, so I'd always like to keep my...
Now, is that goofy or not?
I don't know, because I kick a ball with a right foot. If you tell me to kick a ball now, I'd probably kick you in the face with my left foot. So I don't know.
It's not as simple, is it, as left hand, right hand, is it? It's not your left handed. So what are you, right handed?
Right handed.
See, I'm right handed, but I was right foot forward. And riding left foot would just be, left foot forward would be crazy. Yeah, like if I tried to ride downhill trail with my left foot forward, it would not end well.
See, that wouldn't bother me.
I know.
If you told me to go down a mountain bike track with whatever foot, that don't bother me, but hopping or anything like that, no chance. I'm left.
I would really find it weird if I'd just be like right foot forward.
I'd feel uncomfortable, but yeah,
it's a weird thing that, isn't it? But that's the same problem. See, it doesn't matter how good you get, you can win 9 world titles, it's still really hard to turn right. left. It's really hard to turn left. That's depressing.
It's weird, isn't
that
it?
Means it never gets easy.
It never gets easy.
That's the problem, isn't it, with any riding, is like you can't beat. It doesn't, like, you'll have a point where you start riding bikes where you go, I don't know, you go off a curb or you go round a corner and it feels incredible. And then you've only got to try harder and harder things to ever feel like that again.
Yeah.
It will never, because
trials is the worst sport for that, because you can say you jump higher the week after, it's like, I want to jump higher, and it just never, it's like when you're going down Fort William, for example, on a downhill bike, you know when you're pinned, you know when you're like flat out, it's like, I can't go much faster, I feel, that were a good run.
Yeah.
The only thing what can happen is you crash or you go a bit slower that day, you don't feel as fast, but in trials, it's like, today we're good, tomorrow we're terrible. You know, it's that's literally like every single day of the week.
So do you know on a morning, like...
Oh, you can wake up in the morning and be like... Oh, you know.
And you know you've not got as much height in that day or like...
I don't, to be honest, I used to try just jump as high as I can every single day.
Yeah.
And now I've just learned like some days this...
So let's break that down for everyone who's not, like, you know, because someone listening might be thinking, what does that mean? How high you go? Like, so in trials, what's the weights and measures of it? Like, what? So a side hop now, how's high is high?
55, 160.
Oh!
It's quite big.
That's pretty big. 1 meter 55. That's high. I'm trying to work out how high that is in this room. It's big. It's like... It's like the top of Lightning's head right now. And I'm telling you, he's got curly hair. That's a lot of height. That's high. So do you know like today's a 150 day or today's a 150?
Like, normally you go ride, because I ride on rocks all the time. So I don't really know what 150 is. And
there's no scale,
is there? So, but like, I know if I go to Shippleburn, like, I know my stuff, what's big and what stuff I do every day. And,
yeah, yeah.
But like, some days I'm just like, today in the theatre. Yeah, no, massive. So I'll train more technical stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I have to. I ride every day because it's my whole thing. Is what a lot of people don't probably know with me is like riding is literally my hobby.
Yeah,
it's not a job to me at all. Like,
no,
like people. Some people like being good, but they don't like the hard work of it. But for me, it's I like the hard work of it because it's my hobby.
Yeah.
So like. When people have a like, when people normally get tired, they have a day off, don't they?
Yeah.
But like, if I have a bad day, if I have a day off, it's like a bad day for me. I want to ride every day, you know.
Yeah.
I feel worse having a day off, so
yeah.
So I'll never have a day off. I just ride.
Yeah.
So I have to have days where I say, okay, today's like an easier day.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the energy to do it, but right. I still want to go because I'm like, it's my life.
Yeah.
This has been like a lifestyle since I was like 9 year old.
I've just
lived that life.
Yeah.
I left school at 15 and just never got a job and just carried on riding. So I've just, trials has been my job.
You are
since
living
then.
The dream, man.
Living
you really
the dream.
Are. How, what's a training session like? How long do you ride for when you go out?
Through summer is always longer.
Yeah.
Longer hours, and it's much more enjoyable to go than be freezing. But yeah, a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And then normally what I do a couple of hours. And because I like riding all the time, I go home and I might eat and that. And then I, in my parents' garden up the road from my house, it's full of obstacles.
Yeah.
So I'll go up there and do another 40 minutes, an hour or something anyway.
Yeah. I love your dad's garden. It's amazing.
The garden
is so
nuts.
Great because you've crammed. If you haven't seen this garden, you've got to check out Jack's social media because there's some great clips from there. It's the place with all the little green poles and... That's a committed dad right there.
Yeah,
that's a committed dad.
He builds it all, and we're always finding more.
Yeah,
like in the village, there's always like a bit of wood somewhere. And
yeah,
we just put it in back at.
So how does that work? Do you add stuff in? Do you without? Oh, I've added something for you.
Yeah, it's got so we can't get anything else in now. Can we?
It's very crammed. It's very
crammed
tight.
Now.
I've noticed you started going out into the driveway now and coming in.
Yeah, well, I had a van on there for like 10 years, just sat there doing nothing.
Yeah.
So we were like, right, we need to get rid of that van and get more stuff in. So we got rid of the van.
It's an amazing training ground.
And then,
where's the best training ground you've ever been to? Like, other than your own, like your parents' place?
Oh,
like, where's?
I've been everywhere in the world, haven't I? Riding trials, and Shipley Glen for me is like bee's knees. I don't think, if the weather were good there every day of the week, I don't think I'd ever go anywhere else.
Really?
Like, yeah, because I've been going there like nearly 20 years now and I find something new every time I go.
Yeah.
I just find it like nuts that I've been in them woods for 20 years.
Yeah.
And every year I find something, every day I find something new.
That's crazy.
It's like mad. And I'll go on, the mountain bike opened up loads of new stuff for me as well. When I started riding orange bikes, stuff what I wouldn't have bothered rolling down because I don't want to like burst my eardrums with trials
breaks. Yeah,
I'm like riding down it and I go for a more of a ride.
Yeah,
whereas at Shipley, like there's a fair bit of stuff where it's got a couple of rocks but not a lot.
Yeah,
well, I don't want to walk down there for three rocks on a trials bike to walk all the way back up.
Yeah,
but on a mountain bike, on an e-bike, well, I'll go for like a ride and then I'll call in and do a bit.
What do you ride most on the mountain? Be honest now. Mountain bikes, do you ride the e-bike or the normal mountain bike most?
E-bike. 100% e-bike.
Oh, it's there taking over. It's over, lads. It's over.
Yeah.
We're e-bikers.
It's e-bike.
I'm getting an e-bike in like 2 days' time. No. Monday. I'm going on Monday, aren't I? Are you coming?
No.
We're going to the States. We're going to Sea Otter Classic, and I'm going to pick up my first e-bike handbike. So it's have you seen the Bowhead I ride? The trike?
The thing that leans?
Well, it's that, but a handbike.
All right.
And it's got a Bosch motor under the seat, so you pedal it rather than a throttle motor, which is amazing. For someone like me, it's amazing because it's very hard to exercise because I'm basically sat down all day.
Yeah.
So to get something where you can really like have a proper workout and ride bikes, it's like getting back to
getting
the idea.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm really excited about this bike. But I'm going to be an e-biker in less than a week. It's over.
No, it's just begun.
It's cancelled. Yes, hasn't it? I mean, the technology of e-bikes is... Oh, so fantastic. I literally dreamt of these bikes about 20 years ago.
Honestly, e-bikes blow my mind. Like, I just, I wish that they did like different talks and things like a bit more.
I'm sure they will. And I guess everything's going to become more programmable as you.
Because they've already, like Shimano, they've already got the thing for the phone.
Yeah.
You can turn the torque up. You can turn this up.
I was looking at some bikes last week with Doddy that I really liked. Leo Lightning McQueen's going to help me with the name. Forest Style.
Okay.
They look really good. They look really nice. They've got like a little screen in the frame that's like an Android computer in itself that like tunes up with like your heart rate monitor and your power monitor, and it's all there in the frame. And I kind of like the idea of the biotechnology of like your heartbeat in the bike. So it's not on a clock on your handlebar, but...
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, like it's cool, is that?
I like that. What were we talking about, trial skills? what skills translate? What one? So it was banging
from
it
trials to mountain bike.
Yeah, from trials to mountain bike. Like, what have you taken across? So banging that front wheel into...
Just hill climbs and...
Yeah.
I find like a hill climb, just constantly pedaling up a hill, round rocks and up over a rock and carry on.
Yeah.
I think when you get to the top, there's no more satisfying than like... You look back afterwards and you think, that's steep, is that?
Yeah.
On a mountain, a normal mountain bike, what are you going to do? Hop up it?
Yeah.
It's rubbish.
Well, when
it?
You start hopping on a bike with suspension, it's gross.
As soon as you...
feels awful.
That's the whole thing.
You want to do that as little as possible. Yeah. Right? Or do it in a way... If you do it now and again, you can make it look really nice.
Yeah.
But if you hopping,
I like to do like a wheelie round and up the hill. So it's like constantly... like you're constantly moving your feet.
I've just thought the whole world needs to go and ride Shipley Glen, because there's no coincidence that Shipley Glen has produced Chris Akrig and Jack Carvey.
Yeah.
That can't be a coincidence.
Shipley Glen, honestly.
Shipley Glen. Let's go.
I've never understood it. This is because...
Everyone in the world... Now, there's people from the US listening to us going, what's Shipley Glen? It's a really rocky place. It's beautiful, though. Lovely.
It is, but it's one of them places, like, if you go and have a look, there's no trails on it. You make your own hills or whatever.
I mean, unless you're a very good rider, there's not an awful lot there for you. It's very, very difficult.
You have to be fairly...
It almost looks like... They must do climbing there too, don't they?
Yeah, it's getting better, though, because a lot of people are going walking there now, and in between the rocks, it's all crushed down, so people just...
There's little goat trails.
Yeah, and it's not that. It's not like gnarly. It's not too bad. But it's weird. Even trials riders, not many trials riders go there.
It's very hard. I used to find that with Porthcawl. That's where I used to train, was on the beach in Porthcawl in South Wales. And it's a place, it's not like Shipley Glen, but it's like it in terms of like the rock. It's sort of volcanic beach rock, but it's very, very knobbly, and it's actually very hard to ride. You have to be very accurate.
I've seen pictures of it. I've never been.
And people would come there and just have a dreadful day because they'd be used to riding street. They'd come from like Bristol and it did nice clean lines.
Yeah.
And they'd come and ride that place that had been on lots of videos. And they'd just be like, this is gross. It's just, you've got to really get into
people
a place.
People are the same way with Shipley, but if you stay on the top of Shipley, it's not too bad.
Mm.
But if you go in the woods, you're on. But like, Shipley is good for mountain biking.
Yeah.
As well as trials. Because it's probably better for a mountain biker than a trials rider.
Yeah.
For going down some ruts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's quite good.
I must be quite novice because I don't think I've ever ridden anywhere other than the top.
Yeah, but
I just stayed up on the nibbly.
Yeah, like the top. In the woods, like
it's hard.
All go again. Yeah,
it's
I don't really ride the top, to be honest. I ride in
God,
the woods.
I was on the baby slopes, eh? That's depressing. That's depressing.
You're on the wall area.
I actually think the only time, I was just up on the top there. I couldn't handle it.
It's like Chris. He never rides the top.
No.
He's always in the woods.
No, well, he's conquered all the lines up the top. He's moved on. I think he's completed the top. I don't know. There's a couple of lines I've seen you do that I remember seeing Chris do right back in the day.
Yeah.
That you may look very easily, but I remember there's a particular like flowing line where...
Oh, an upvote out of the thing. Yeah,
really
it's
hard.
Yeah.
Really hard. But you make it look so easy. And I remember Chris doing it the first time he did
it. Yeah, it really trial noir like, video.
Yeah,
I've seen it.
But he was the only guy who could. No one else could have done it.
Yeah,
it was because you had to really sort of keep your momentum going across quite a number of things before you actually get to quite a difficult.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people struggle with. Like, can you bang off that rock to that rock to that rock to get up that rock? You know, and that's that's Shipley brings that out in you.
Yeah,
and if you ride it and ride it and ride it, you get used to it and it starts to become norm.
Yeah,
and you go ride street or you go ride somewhere else. It's like boring, to be honest.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
you know.
Do you ride street much at all?
I don't.
Destroyed Bath. We literally couldn't find anything. There wasn't really anything for you here at all. The biggest thing we found, you rode over essentially with your eyes closed, and then we left. So what do you do? Like, we need to find you. That's my first challenge. I need to find you some good street.
Yeah.
On another day, we need to go. Bristol, I think you'd really enjoy.
Yeah.
All the trials riders listening now will be cheering now, because Bristol.
We'll do it.
The fact you haven't ridden Bristol's a bit nuts, actually.
I've never ridden it.
Because it's a hub of some brilliant riders.
Yeah, I remember, like, when I were younger.
Yeah.
Used to go.
I went there a bit, but I couldn't handle a lot of the street that some of those guys were doing, actually, because it was sort of a bit later in my career. But like people like Rowan Johns would, who wasn't like necessarily like a, you know, a rider that would blossom anywhere else, but he just had just got a style that worked in Bristol. Super smooth. He did some brakeless stuff, and he just did some great.
I like that. Like that's another thing I like. I like when someone's like, does something different.
Yeah.
Like a lot of trials riders, you'll find they don't have their own style. They don't have anything. Mm. They just copy what the best person's doing.
Mm.
I were a little bit that way when I were younger, when Gilles Castellio were leading the
way. Yeah.
Look at Gilles and you're like, oh, I want to be like him. And then I started putting my own tweak on it and started trying to ride it more like a motorbike.
Yeah.
And flow through and be fast.
Yeah.
And then like Charlie Rolls.
Yeah.
He started doing a bit of the same thing, but a bit like fast and flicky.
Yeah.
And I like it when someone puts a little twist on it.
Yeah.
And it brings something out. It's like,
well, a push bike trials bike's a hard thing to put style into, because the brakes don't want you to roll, really.
No.
They're saying stop.
Yeah. That's why you can do that, you really, I've always seen it like, I can watch someone in trials and watch them for 2 minutes and I know if they're really good or not.
Yeah.
I can literally be like, yeah.
I find, because I come from that trials background, I can almost do that on any bike. I can literally know you as a rider very quickly, and because I think you can just see what's, not essentially like in speed, because someone can be very fast.
A touch.
Yeah, but just a sort of thing of like, it would only take a little moment. Oh, that's good. And I don't know if that is a trials thing or just a time on bikes thing. Yeah. Might be, you know, that lots of riders see that if they've ridden enough, that you just can tell.
Yeah, even in mountain biking, like when I watch mountain biking and stuff, you watch a rider and then you watch someone go down the same trail.
Yeah.
You can tell who's better.
Yeah.
Straight away.
Oh, you know, just,
even if they're like neck and neck, you can see who's the better naturally.
One of our presenters, Neil Donahue, is a fantastic downhill rider, and he has got just the most effortless, smooth. He's glorious, isn't he? He's got such a great riding style, and you can kind of just see the quality of his riding. He doesn't need to go fast anymore. He's fast.
He just does it himself, kind of thing.
But you can just see Uzi's like ability. He always has since he was a kid, but you can just see it. And someone else could be maybe as fast, but you can almost see like, yeah, but are you as capable? Maybe not.
He's just got
a really great style.
It's a bit like that in trials, really.
I'm a bit jealous. Can you hear that in my voice? It's a bit jealous. I'm a bit jealous in your style. Did you, so you said you followed Gilles Castillier a bit. Did you stop following him when he started wearing those ridiculous trousers?
I think I looked up to him that much. I'm like, they're cool.
So talk me through. So trials riding. Why can't trials be cool? Actually, today, you're not dressed weird.
I dress like a mountain biker.
Yeah, which is great.
Thanks, to.
Thank God. The world champion's wearing something decent, because there's some kooky styles in trials. Particularly comp trials.
Yeah, there's I don't know why.
So if you're listening now, let me give you an idea, right? So you've got a rider now on a very, very small bike. Now put him in tight, tight leggings. Yeah. Got that in your mind? And now add a pair of shorts with incredibly high splits on either side. That's right. It sounds like a miniskirt.
And a road cycling jersey.
And a why? Why did the shorts ever work? Did you wear them shorts, Jack?
I never wore them shorts.
Dad, did he?
No.
I used to sometimes wear the...
Did you secretly try a pair on in your bedroom?
I didn't ever get a pair.
Do I look like Jules?
I think he got them specially made for him. I don't think you could buy them. I don't think you could buy them.
I feel bad laughing because he's an unbelievably good rider. Still is, I expect. A very good rider.
I don't know.
But man, the clothing style is disastrous.
Yeah, I don't know why, like, trials ever look like that, really.
I understand the tight leggings.
Yeah. But like a normal pair of shorts, no?
Yeah. Well, no shorts. You don't need shorts. It's just called Lycra. Why the little sexy shorts? I don't get it. I've never got it. Trials has always got to shoot itself in the foot with some... It's already difficult to understand. Yeah. And then you put like a mini skirt over your tight leggings and a road top. It just makes it less accessible.
It's true.
Thank God. It looks like you're trying to make a difference. If the one difference you make to mountain biking trials is that you make it look cooler, then you've done a good job.
Yeah. This is how I dress every day, pretty much.
Like, some nice kit you've got on. What you got on? What are you wearing?
Madison.
I've got some nice stuff. But yeah. Blake used to ride for Madison.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, with Saracen, and he was on the Madison kit. Mm-hmm. An animal clothing was owned by the same company that owns Madison. Right, so there's a big connection.
Yeah.
There's a big connection there. Have you got any plans for like a street edit? Like, you know, like, is that something, like, you look at someone like Danny Mac. Mm. I mean, Danny's a phenomenon in his own right. And I believe he probably would have been brilliant at whatever he'd chosen to do.
Yeah.
He's just an incredible rider. And like you said, his stuff and Fabio's stuff is just massive for cycling in general.
Yeah. I think it's, to be honest, they've done that well, both of them. They've gone bigger than trials.
They're bigger than all of it. And it's so weird because it's happened in mountain biking from the beginning. Like the biggest mountain biker in the 90s was a trials rider called Hans Rey. That was the most famous mountain biker in the world. And he was a kooky little trials rider.
Yeah.
Then it happened again with Danny. You know, it's such a spectacular sport that it really just lends itself
quite
to video.
Instant as well.
Yeah, it just works whether it be a show, whether it be a photo shoot, or it's a video shoot for a video edit. It just lands perfect. Do you remember when Danny's first video came out? Do you remember that, the sort of first Inspired Bikes one from?
Yeah,
from
well, Inspired. I hadn't been going long, had it?
No, it was brand new.
I were already with the side company, Trial Tech.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I thought, oh, they're making like some... I thought when they first made them bikes, I thought they were BMX bikes.
Yeah.
I thought they were like a new big BMX. Yeah. That's what I honestly thought that bike was.
Yeah.
Because trials were trials, competition trials. Yeah. There were no such thing as that. And then I seen the video and I were really young at the time.
Yeah.
You know, and... I was more blown away. I watched it, but I watched it more like it were BMX.
Yeah.
I didn't see it as trials.
Yeah.
And then people started calling it trials.
Yeah, that'd break Danny's heart, that would, hearing that.
No, because it was like...
It's not trials.
No, at the time, I didn't see it as trials, because all I ever seen were trials, competition trials.
Yeah.
And then I seen it, and then people were calling it trials. I was like, is this like a new thing, because I didn't know what it was. I'm being honest, I didn't have a clue what this new thing was.
Yeah.
I'd never seen someone do a mix. Like for me, I looked at it like, is mixing trials with BMX here? And I'd never seen that.
It's still an incredible video. Yeah, you can watch it back now and it's still
it's
fabulous.
Still some stuff in it.
He does a couple of lines on it that are just crazy.
Yeah.
The double drop.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, he drops off onto a curved wall ride into the bank.
The one
What's
where
scary?
He hits the thing and jumps across as well. That was pretty nuts.
I mean, he's just done some massive stuff in that video. Big risk, high risk stuff.
Yeah.
Actually, the drop off of the, where they've got that great, it's shot so beautifully as well, because they've got that, before you see him do the drop, there's the shot of him just sat with his legs hanging over the drop looking down.
Yeah.
And it just gives you an idea of the thought process that's going in. And he did do that drop, but I believe his fork snapped on another go of it, before that one.
Okay.
It's pretty brave to do it another go.
Yeah.
When the forks had broken. I think that's right. I could be wrong, but I mean, it's a banger. I remember watching it thinking, that's me done.
Yeah,
like, it's over.
Yeah, it was mad. It was mad. Yeah, like I say, like, yeah. I didn't really know what it was. I didn't look at it as trials, and I didn't look at it as BMX. I didn't look at it. I just were like, is this like a new thing?
So with that in mind, have you ever thought, like, have you ever considered, like,
doing that stuff?
Trying it. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you'd just be able to do some cracker stuff. But, like, I guess, are you at the moment, is it just you've got to stay involved in, you've got to stay on top in comps, or is that a distraction, or could you take on an edit? How does it?
No, to be honest, I'm like so young, but I'm achieved what I wanted to.
So you're nine. Let's just put that in perspective. You're 9 times world champion. How many times in adults? Like
four.
But you're 25.
25.
So the maths don't make much sense, does it? Already, it's pretty crazy. Yeah.
So
you're very.
I've always said I wanted 10. I've always said that. I had that dream when I was like 9, 10 year old. Like,
imagine. Did you really?
Yeah, yeah. I said to myself, like, imagine doing it 10 times. Like, I always had in my head, I'm going to win.
Mm.
I always believed I were going to do it. I didn't ride bikes to win, but I always had in my head, like, one day I'll do it, you know? And and then I get to like 8, 9. Mm. And then it's like, oh, I'm close to 10 now.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm open to doing other things for sure, 100%. But
you want that 10th one.
I would like to go for number 10, yeah.
Yeah. So when does that happen? When's...
There's Abu Dhabi at end of this year.
Right.
November, so...
What about World Cups? Do you ride the World Cups?
I do the World Cups, but for me, I don't get the same thing over a World Cup over a World Championship.
Do you not?
No. For me, a World Cup's like a warm-up for a World Championship. I've always been like that. I've just never... It's not been something what's like made air stand on my back winning.
No, right.
I've never, but when I win that world title, it's like one go in a year and you win it. It's like, whoa, you know.
Yeah.
And I've always been like that with it.
It's intense, isn't
it?
It's a really intense process.
Yeah. I think you've got to be quite, I think in any sport to win a rainbow jersey, you've got, especially over the one day thing, you've got to be someone quite special to do it because a lot of people crack under it or they fluke it. Yeah. I've seen that a few times where they fluked anything. You'll never win another one.
I'd love to fluke it. It'd be great. I'd take a fluke win.
Would you?
Yeah. I ain't got any of them. I got no rainbow jerseys. I won a world bike trial title, but you don't get the UCI jersey. You get a version of it, but it's not the same.
No.
You know, and they've also used colours on it to hint at it.
It's not it.
And it's not it. I want it to, I mean, it's what I've got and I love it, but yeah, it's not, I mean, I can't imagine what it'd be like to have that rainbow real UCI rainbow jersey moment.
Yeah, it's nice.
Must be incredible.
It's nice.
How does do you still is it still something you crave? You've like, I want to do that again, or
I don't, after I win like this time,
yeah,
don't even think about it.
No.
I'm miles away till the next one. I'm straight on to the next one, me. I'm always like that. I don't reminisce.
But this last win was quite important, wasn't it? Because it was coming off the back of a big gap.
Yeah, it was 2 years out.
So, I mean, things could have changed.
I put the work in. I knew everyone else. When COVID came, I remember hearing little stories and rumours about people not training the same and stuff like that.
Yeah, I
trained solid for 2 years.
Right.
And I never took any time off. And I used that time to improve even more.
Yeah.
So I knew I was coming in good. And I did 2 months away from my family to do
it. Yeah, because you went away in your van. And
I went away in my van and lived in Spain.
Yeah.
For 2 months, training every single day in like 40 degrees.
Yeah.
And it paid off.
Sure did.
But I got, it was like an experience to live there for 2 months and stuff.
Yeah.
Something I've always wanted to do. And
did you learn any lingo?
No.
No,
I can barely speak English.
What do you feel about when riders? Do you get people comparing you to like the street guys? Like to the
I don't really get it to the street guys at all now. I always have this like every so often there'll be a rider who moves to 26 inch and he's moving to my category comparing me to, it's going to be a tough battle. Like, there's a guy called Abel.
Yeah.
He still is. He moved to 26. and it were all like, oh, it's going to be between...
He struggled a bit though, right?
Yeah, yeah, they were did. All like, oh, it's going to be really tight. And
because he was fantastic on the 20.
Yeah, fantastic on 20.
It's not the same thing.
No, different. No. We all, between us,
yeah,
we knew.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't ride a 20-inch. I was only good once mountain biking started.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, right. This makes total sense. But 20-inch, I was terrible.
I could ride 20-inch.
Yeah.
But I could ride 20-inch, but the problem was for me, I didn't want to ride it.
No.
Horrible.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Yeah.
So...
I just didn't like... They just wouldn't roll over. I like to roll through things. Yeah. And the mountain bike, as soon as I got on a... When I got on a mountain bike, it was like a normal mountain bike. That was the only ones there were.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, this thing's like a... But I can pretend this is a motorbike.
Yeah.
Whereas the 20-inch was just a struggle to do that with.
It's,
you know?
Not. I never liked it.
They got me into it. Mm. That's what got me in. I wanted a Monty with a big back, fat back tire.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's all I wanted. I wanted one of those. But then, as soon as you could do it on mountain bikes, I just loved it.
I got to like 12. I remember being 12 year old, and someone actually gave me an old 26 bike, and the way I rode it was pedaling at everything and that style. And I always knew. And then about 2 years later, I moved to 26. I didn't want anything to do with 20 inch. I remember saying to my dad, like, I don't want to know what to do with it. It's horrible. I can't stand it. And that's why I were actually partnered with Onza at the time. And their market were all in 20 inch.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, we want you to stay. And I just said, I don't want it. And we actually left Onza because they weren't enthusiastic about me moving to 26.
Right.
And we actually went and bought a bike. We weren't bothered.
Yeah, sometimes that's the best way to go.
Went and bought one, and 2 years later, I signed with Cox Bikes. And then it just blew up then.
Best mountain bike frame name ever. Cox.
At the time, yeah.
It's just so good. I mean, it must mean something else in French, does it?
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I don't know where that name had come from, but...
Do Cox still exist?
No, they weren't.
They weren't busted, though. Yeah. No, I've been there.
Yeah.
Literally. What's your favorite venue to ride? Like, if you're like, other than Shipley, if you're going around like comp wise, because there's not comps on Shipley, is there?
There has been.
Yeah.
Like British Championships and stuff on there, but not like world stuff.
Yeah.
But
now, if you want to talk some British Championships, Jack, now I've got a few. I've got a few of those. All right. Chris stole a few of them, though. Sod. Anyway, where's your favourite place? Like, not Shipley. Like, problem where around now, the world?
Yeah,
where...
the problem is now is...
Oh, no, you're riding on man-made stuff. Oh,
yeah, you can put it in your back garden and put it where you want. It doesn't make any odds, does it?
Oh, yeah.
So there's, like, that doesn't make any difference anymore.
So you don't... So it comes down to, like, temperatures and things like that, like riding in heat.
I suppose so, yeah.
I mean, I would have thought Abu Dhabi's going to be hot for a Yorkshireman.
I like
you're worried, Dad. A Yorkshireman in Abu Dhabi.
He loves the heat.
Yeah.
A Yorkshireman in Abu Dhabi doesn't make any sense. That can't work.
I know. I don't know. But I actually always ride better when it's red.
Really?
Hot. Yeah. So it's good for me.
Yeah. Well, that's when the pressure's really on.
Yeah.
When do you like pressure then?
I do like pressure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. If
that's such a like fortunate skill.
I've set off in competitions before and been riding good, but made a lot of mistakes in the beginning. And when the pressure comes, I ride better. So
yeah.
I've always been like that.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's why I don't do British Championships, because I just don't get anything.
Oh, whatever, mate.
No.
Can't even be bothered.
That's why I stopped doing stuff, because I don't really get that adrenaline.
Yeah.
Like even World Cups, I get it. But like World Championship.
I can't believe you just totally wrecked my whole. That's all I've got, man. That's all I've got. My proudest moments.
How many British Championships do you have?
I've won, well, I go back so far. When I first was winning them, they weren't even called British Championships. But when they were called British Championships, 4. So I won.
So what were they before? How many did you have before they were called that then?
Only one, I think. Maybe only one.
So you got 5. So
no, because they weren't, when it wasn't a British Championship, it was because there was literally, it was Essex Bike Trial. That was all it was. So I think, it was, Yeah, it was early days. But I think Chris has got six.
Six.
Yeah, so he's doing better. But you'd probably have that many already.
14.
14? Can I swear? I'm not going to swear because it's a pain for the editor. 14? That's like you trip over them. That's like you... Oh, I can't help but win these things. Yeah. Bloody hell. 10 more British championships than me. I hate your guts. You know, I said trials riding's got weird clothing. Have you seen any... This is a taking trials to a weird excess. Have you seen any off-road unicycling? Have you ever seen that?
I've seen an odd person do it every so... You know, when I've gone to an event, I've seen someone do something and I've been like, no, that were good. But I haven't really seen...
Talk about kooky. So I was watching a video the other day and there's this guy like riding down a mountain bike trail, like fast, on a unicycle.
Yeah, I've seen...
He's got a brake under his, like, where he's...
Yeah, under the seat.
He's sort of old, looks like he's holding his balls, but he's not. He's got his finger on a brake, apparently. He's got his finger on a brake, and he sort of moves the seat forward.
Yeah.
So
he's sat behind it a bit, isn't
he? A little bit.
Yeah.
It looks a bit like he's, like, it's just a bit weird. But he's pedalling all the time, because it's fixed, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't stop pedalling, can you?
And he just... all the way down the trail, but not...
What are we doing again? You what?
It's just like that. Honestly, that was actually a very good representation of what he did. But it was quick. He's going fast.
Yeah. They must use the brake like just to tap it to slow it down on his feet. But his feet are like, and the cranks are so small, aren't they?
But I was just thinking, you guys are like the rear end so short. Can you ride a unicycle?
No.
Have you tried?
I've like tried standing on one once and I ended up like...
I wonder if it translated a little bit. That's what I was thinking. I was like, maybe you can just do it.
Maybe I could probably do it if I had...
You could be the world's greatest unicyclist.
Down hills.
You don't even know.
If I had about... Maybe if I held the
this
brake
on... This is big,
on,
Jack. We found something big here. You could be the world's greatest unicyclist. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to do it? You're the world's greatest trials rider. You don't need to demote yourself.
It'd be cheaper on tyres, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's a crazy looking sport. It's one of those things that I can imagine a lot of trials riders I know could get into it.
Yeah.
Because it's kooky.
Yeah.
And some trials can be kooky.
See, I like to... it's too hot. I think... Like that'd be too hoppy for me.
Mm.
I like to
move. Yeah. Yeah, I could. One of the things I was stunned by when we were out on the streets of Bath just then, you were having a bit of a play on your trials bike, is that your pace. I mean, I know you have to go quick these days anyway, you know, because you're against a time limit, and you've got to keep it moving. But your pace is just sort of infectious to watch because you're taking in so many obstacles so quickly, whereas It used to be a much more procrastinated...
Yeah, it'd be round and down and...
It would be hop, hop, stop and look. Hop, 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 stop and look. You know, then like pause, pause. And you're like tick, 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 tick. And you're just like flowing through everything. There's so much movement, which makes it look an awful lot easier than it is to start with because you've just got a flow there that actually... It's very hard to keep it moving and to be able to handle all the different edges that you're hitting as you're doing that, that are all trying to stop you.
Yeah.
But it just looks so fluid. And trials never used to look fluid.
Yeah, you know, it used to look snotted, didn't it? It could get snotted up and...
I mean, there's an awful lot of things that I think have been improved a lot, you know, by that sort of flowing style.
Yeah.
That makes it way more interesting to watch.
The year before I started riding, there were a world championship at Addingham Moorside, the BIU.
That was the year before?
That was the year before I started.
I've got a story about that. I'll tell you in a second. Go on.
Yeah. But
I rode that.
That was, did you?
Yeah. Well, I say rode.
I don't want to insult you.
I'll say I rode.
So the week before, that week, the week after there were motorbikes on, wasn't there?
Yeah.
The world championship motorbike was the week after.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, that rings
a
bell.
And we're in the... Because I only live 10 minutes away from Addingham Moorside.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're in the newspaper, and my dad were like, oh, I'll take you through. So I was like, eight.
Mm.
We went through and we're like, what is this spa? It's terrible. We went home and we're like, we're never going to watch that again. And then a year later, I'm riding trials.
Well, I mean, push bike trials back then was definitely not much of a spectator sport. Yeah. But that event, okay, so I was, at the time, I was heavily into riding shows. I wasn't riding comps anymore. But we hadn't had a world round. I don't think that might have been the only world round we ever had.
Yeah, really. In England, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, I can't not do it. You know, I've got to do it. But I was well prepared that I was... I was Mr. Show Rider at this point. You know, like, people didn't applaud. I wasn't getting on my bike. You know what I mean? I only come out for the applause, which is a joke in my house. Apparently, I'm still like that. Like, I need a round of applause if I make a cup of coffee or something, you know. But I was riding a show the day before in Devon. So a long way from that event. It started to rain at this event, but it was a wicked festival. It was a brilliant music festival. I can't remember, it was called K-Fest or something like that. But it had a great big tent with people in there doing, you know, DJing, and it was a fantastic music festival. I was outside doing shows on my show rig for Animal, who were like sponsoring the event. And I was getting really carried away with the crowd, and I didn't have space to have a full jump box. But I did have space for a kicker ramp. So I thought, oh, I'll do a flip. At the end of the show, I'll come off this van and I'll do a backflip and I'll just stop on the box that I've got, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't have anywhere to go. I had to flip and stop. And the crowd were all, like, beyond the drop.
So
I would be heading towards them. And there was a crowd all around, but, like, where I would flip, I'd have to stop. And I had about 3 meters of length to land and stop before I went into the crowd, which I definitely wasn't going to do. So it just as the show started, it started pouring with rain. And I thought, oh, Jesus Christ, I don't want to do that flip thing now, because now it all feels a bit sketchy. I hadn't long been doing flips, to be honest. But I was trying to fit them into shows so they would become regular. I would just get them down. And the show was going so well. And because it was raining, the crowd were all a bit drunk and they were all super into it because it was getting dark and the lights were starting to look good. And I was, bearing in mind, I needed to pack up and go because I needed to get to Addingham Moorside for a world championship trial. And I went to do this flip and my feet just slipped off the pedals. Whoa. As I took off, my feet sort of slipped and I sort of sat down. And I kind of just stalled upside down, like flipped and stalled. And it just come round enough for me not to land on my head. And I sort of landed on my front wheel and just bounced into the crowd, just upside down. I don't know, I probably killed a few people. And I really landed on my shoulders, and I was like winded. And I was like, oh my God. But I thought, I'm never going to do a backflip again. I've got to go and do it again right now. So I got back on the bike, and the guy who was managing the tour was like, no, like, what are you doing? I was like, I have to go. I'll never do it again. I've got to go back up and do it. You know, when you've got to face a fear. So I went back up. I managed to do it because I was boosted with all this adrenaline. I stopped and I was like, yeah. And then I felt absolutely dreadful. I was really stiffening up after a nasty crash.
No worse than that.
And I packed up all, because what people don't know about trials riders is that you end up packing up the show afterwards yourself anyway. Yeah. So you are like the trials rider, but you're also the roadie. So I packed up all my trial stuff and I got in the car and I drove up to Addingham Moorside. And it took me, I didn't sleep in the night and just rocked up at this world championship trial Addingham Moorside, like feeling so beat up. Like devastated from the drive, and just having to drive around this trial, I humiliated myself. It was terrible. Because Addingham Moorside, it's not easy.
No, it's not. It's one of the when I was
and you were spectating. I probably put you off trials. Imagine I could have put you off trials.
No, I remember watching.
It could have been my fault.
I remember watching two girls like dragging the bike up a rock.
Yeah, there was a lot of taking a dab and dragging. That might have been me. I might have been that girl. That seems like a good place to leave it. Thanks very much.
No, thank you.
It was good fun.
Yeah, we're good.